that would change things possibly might be even tougher sanctions against Russia. Six people were shot and killed at a bus stop in Jerusalem this morning. Israel calling it an act of terror. Israel's bombardment of Gaza continues. Israel leveling a high rise in Gaza City today. This is ABC News.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-859-3220. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 to 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you. Except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-859-3220. That's 800-859-3220 for $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. 800-859-3220.
Prince Harry is back in the UK for a special commemoration.
It is 3 years to the day since Queen Elizabeth died, and London has been marking the anniversary with gun salutes this morning. Prince William and wife Kate paid tribute with an engagement in her honour, as did Prince Harry, who laid a wreath at his grandmother's tomb at Windsor Castle this morning. He is back here in the UK for the first time in months. He'll be at an awards ceremony this evening for Well Child, which is a charity he's patron for. What we don't know, though, is whether he'll see any of his family during this trip.
ABC's James Longman in London. The number of states where the FDA has issued recalls for potentially radioactive frozen shrimp has grown to nearly three dozen now. ABC's Jim Ryan says anybody who might have bought the stuff is being urged to throw it out.
On the floor of the U.S. Senate, Republican John Kennedy of Louisiana stood before a blown-up photo of the horrific creature that burst forth from John Hurt's chest in a 1979 horror classic.
How could you end up looking like the alien in The Alien?
By eating frozen shrimp from Indonesia.
Because the shrimp was radioactive.
A team of physicists from the American Nuclear Society says the radioactive concentration in the shrimp is similar to naturally occurring concentrations in bananas. The FDA website has lot numbers and brand names to be aware of. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Dick's Sporting Goods acquisition of athletic sneaker retailer Foot Locker is now complete, the purchase costing nearly $2.5 billion. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Hear the latest from local newsmakers on Community Comment, weekdays at 10 a.m. on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Partly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 70. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows level off around 51. Overcast tomorrow, 74. Partly cloudy skies and dry Wednesday and Thursday, mid-70s. Wednesday, upper 70s by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
Providing this community beautiful floors and so much more, the team at Professional Floor Covering can't wait to connect with our friends through today's community comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
For now, here is Terry Bell.
We have not one but two guests with the program today. The first half of our show, we're going to be talking with Josh Shulman, the Washington County Executive. We'll be talking with him about a number of things, including the aftermath of flooding from a few weeks ago, the biennial budget, which is being presented to the county board coming up on the 10th, and one of the bigger news stories coming out of Washington County in recent weeks is the sale of the UWM Washington County campus. We'll be talking about many of those things and much more. In the second half of the show, We'll be joined by Dodge County Emergency Management Director Joe Meager. He'll be getting us up to date on what has happened since a train derailed near Reeseville on August 15th involving a Canadian Pacific train carrying crude oil. And that is coming up after the news at 10:30. For now, we welcome Washington County Executive Josh Schoeman to the program. Josh, thanks for being flexible this morning with your schedule. I appreciate it, and welcome to Community Comment.
No problem. It's what neighbors do. Thanks for having me again.
Happy Monday. Of course, happy Monday. So this is a busy time of year. Every 2 years, I should say. But coming up is the biennial budget presentation that will be made to the county board. That's coming up on Wednesday. And can you give us some of the highlights?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. It is, for us, it's a biennial budget process. So once every 2 years. For most other counties, it's still annual. But for us, this is an extra big one since it's that two-year process. And of course, you know, it's a little bit extra complicated because the state of Wisconsin isn't living up to their end of the bargain on some things, specifically court funding, which we've talked about before. Counties are carrying the weight of about 80% of the cost of running the court system. And so we'll continue to take on that unfunded mandate here in Washington County, as will every other county in the state. But it puts a heck of a strain on our budget. Still, nonetheless, the highlights of this budget that I'll propose on Wednesday are the lowest tax rate since before World War One. It'll be about half, just under half of what it was when I first came to the county in 2013. So it was about $2.84 per thousand when I arrived in 2013, and this budget for 2026 in particular, it'll be about $1.42. So we're super excited about that. More importantly, though, than the tax collections, I think you're going to see property taxes, the other districts in particular, go up pretty substantially, especially school districts, with that 402-year veto by Governor Evers, which allows for approximately a $325 property tax increase on the average house in every school district. So what we're doing at the county level is holding the line. And my goal is both in 2026 to hold the line, which will keep our tax levy lower than it was when I first was elected county executive back in 2020. And then we'll have a modest increase in 2027 to fund an ongoing co-responder unit, which is a sheriff's deputy and a social worker that were recently added in the sheriff's office. So all in all, just holding the line on taxes, which is good news for our bosses, the constituents here in Washington County.
How much does the budget propose spending overall?
Yeah, proposed spending overall kind of bounces up and down, and the reason for that is we have a couple of big road projects where the investments go up, but holistically from 2013 when I first got to the county until this upcoming budget, we've had a total of 12% increase, which just for context, I mean, the state budget that was just approved, that one biennial budget the state adopted was a 12% increase in 2 years. So we are more like about a 1% per year average.
Okay. But that comes to, like, as a dollar figure just for this two-year cycle, what does that come to?
It'll come to about 145 on average, a little bit lower than that probably, but somewhere in that 140 to 140, $145 million range.
Very good. And again, it requires how much, now you make this presentation on Wednesday.
Yes.
Then, How much can the county board change that proposal once it's in their hands?
Well, theoretically, they could take it and throw it in the trash can and start over, like the legislature did to Governor Evers. But practically speaking, we've been in constant communication with the county board, and you know that's one of the biggest differences for how I have run things as chief executive officer here at the county. We have continually updated them on what we expect for property tax increases across all districts. We have also kept them up to speed on some of the significant changes that they are likely to see so that we can achieve that flat property tax, particularly in 2026. And we have kept them in tune with a number of the big capital projects that caused some of that fluctuation that I talked about before. So they won't be surprised by anything they hear, and they will go through their individual committees. They've already once talked about some of the substantive changes that they should anticipate seeing that are generally in the six figures or more. And now they'll have a chance to make tweaks and modifications, including budget amendment motions, over the course of about the next 4 to 5 weeks. And then our executive committee meets in early October, and they will have the formal public hearing. That's where everything will kind of get negotiated out, and then finally gets presented to the county board in early November when they'll make their final vote.
We're talking to Washington County Executive Josh Shulman on Community Comments. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the sale of the UW-Washington County campus, something that's generating a lot of conversation in the community. Stay with us. We'll be back on Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Operados. A peace of mind invites us to explore the common humanity that connects us. That's the message that acclaimed author, photographer, and peace advocate John Noltner will share when he returns to Beaver Dam, his hometown, for a week featuring his art exhibit at the Dodge Center for Arts, classes, and programs for the public. All free. Presented by AAUW Beaver Dam. Go to beaverdam.wi.aauw.net for details.
So fine, shiny floors that truly shine, tiles and wood you'll adore, get it all at Professional Floor. Showers, blinds, counters too, everything just like brand new, they've got what you're looking for, only here at Professional Floor.
Okay, full disclosure, we still don't sing here, but since I've got the mic, let me drop some knowledge. At Professional Floor Covering, we've got the best brands and styles for every project. Whether you're looking for cabinets, blinds, flooring, or more, we're here to make your home look amazing. Check out our showroom to explore our wide range of luxury vinyl plank flooring. Need a bathroom makeover? We've got custom marble and ceramic showers and countertops to elevate your space. And if you're thinking kitchen upgrade, our cabinet and porcelain tile selection is top-notch. Take a look online at proflr.com and stop in to visit us at 713 Park Avenue. Time to hand the mic back.
Helpful phrases for modern living. Tape 1. To say hello, you say, hey there.
Hey there.
To say, I'm not sleeping, you say, I'm fine, thanks.
I'm fine, thanks.
To say, I avoid my friends, you say, it's all good.
It's all good.
Saying you're fine when you're not, we've all been there. But not saying something when things get tough doesn't help. Your mental health deserves a voice. Visit FindSupportWI.org today.
Picking your fall outfits can be frightening. Let St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County make it easier for you. Got a closet full of clothes that don't do the trick? It can be someone else's treat. Right after you make some room for your winter closet and donate. You can also get or donate your Halloween supplies this year. From fall decor to Halloween costumes and so much more, St. Vincent de Paul of Dodge County has it all. They're open 8 to 7 Monday through Saturday. Shop, save, and support St. Vincent de Paul at 125 Dodge Drive in Beaver Dam.
God bless from your friends at St. Vincent de Paul.
Hear what's going on in your community. Stay tuned to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
And it is 19 minutes after 10 o'clock at your hometown station, 95.3 WBEV, back to the Daily Dodge TV studio, and here we go.
Thank you very much, Jeff. We visit each time this month with Josh Shulman, the Washington County Executive, just next door. Forgot to mention that if you have a question or a comment for Josh, you can join the program by calling or texting 920-887-9595 or calling us right here at the studio at 885-4446. Just recently, the county approved The sale of the UW-Milwaukee Washington County campus to the Ozaukee Christian Academy. And there were some other bidders for that project, but what is it that tipped the scales in favor of Ozaukee Christian Academy?
Yeah, thanks for asking about it. It's been a long journey here for the last year, year and a half since UW-Milwaukee and the UW system proposed that, or announced, I guess I should say, that they were going to close our campus. And for the last year, we've been working hard to try and find the highest and best use. Particularly, we wanted to try to keep the education component and the community opportunity. You know, it's been a facility, an institution that's been invested in for 60 years as a school and as a place for people to gather. And so we worked through a process of trying to have open dialogue about that, including creating a task force with local leaders and local realtors, commercial realtors, and our county treasurer, Scott Hinke. And it was a really good, oh, and the mayor himself from West Bend. And it was a really good process. We ended up with seven or eight different letters of interest. Really, it came down to two that were fiscally sustainable. One was from a national charter school who offered to lease a large portion of the 200,000-square-foot facility and essentially cover the operating and capital outlay costs annually, and all the rest of the building could have been utilized for other things. But there was a lot of consternation and angst about that proposal out in the community, and the timing was such that it would have forced us to really look at starting next year rather than sooner. And for Washington County and all the things we talked about with our biennial budget challenge, we really can't afford to wait another year. It costs the county about $600,000 a year in operating and capital outlay just to keep the facility, you know, in decent working order, even though it's vacant. And so Ozaukee Christian School was the other proposal, and they offered $3 million for the purchase of the building and the property, in potentially in conjunction with the Cedar Lake Conservation Foundation to take over a bunch of the property around it. And, you know, sometimes the way to save something is to sell something. And we found that with our county nursing home, and now we found it again here with our UW campus. So we're excited to partner with Ozaukee Christian and make that sale to them and see them utilize it for the education purposes it was originally designed for, and, you know, hopefully keep some options open for our community members to be able to utilize it in some way, shape, or form.
Was it important that the facility continue operating as a school of one kind or another, or was it just going to go to the best and most feasible bid no matter what?
There was certainly a bias towards an educational purpose, but I think that was simply because when you walk through the building, I mean, it's a school. There's quite literally a gymnasium and classrooms and chalkboards, I guess marker boards, and lecture halls and all of those things, a library. So I think there, when you look at the appraisal, the appraisal basically spells out how they appraised it for its existing use, which was a school. So I think that was just inherently in what we wanted to see, and it's a logical conclusion for how the community can use it best. Hopefully that gymnasium and the Performing Arts Center and things like that can still have some semblance of community use, and we're looking forward to Ozaukee Christian being the facilitator of allowing for that to still happen.
How much of a relief will it be for Washington County and West Bend to not be on the hook for maintaining the campus?
It'll be a significant relief. It's one thing when you have a good tenant, a good partner, like the UW system was for, you know, 55-plus years. But when they walked away, it's a whole nother ball of wax. I mean, and we found that as we went through this task force process. You know, I think I look at what Fond du Lac County is doing, and, you know, I give Sam Kaufman a lot of credit up there, the county executive up there. But they are working tirelessly just to try to get to a break even and maybe make a little bit of revenue. I look at what we have. It's different. We have one building. They have multiple buildings. We have 80 acres. They have a campus right in the middle of the Moraine Park Technical College campus and the high school campus. So it's a different ballgame up there. But for us to play landlord like that with one physical unit all attached, it would have just been a disaster. I mean, county government isn't built to be a landlord. And so I think this is the best way to save the educational and community purpose is to sell it. So I'm excited. I think Ozaukee Christian's had a long presence here in Washington County. They've been growing the last several years, and they have hopes and dreams to grow even further, and we're excited to give them that opportunity here with this facility rather than building something brand new.
You mentioned the school's growth. For the time being, as I understand it, Ozaukee Christian Academy is still a relatively small enterprise, and there may be some concern out there whether it's probably well suited for a facility as large as this.
Yeah, no, I have heard a lot of criticism about that. They only have 160 or 180 some students, kindergarten through eighth grade. But listen, I don't know how much you know about our neck of the woods, but Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School is located in Jackson, Wisconsin, and they started in the basement of a church 50 years ago. They now are pushing 700 students and doing quite well. So there's definitely a template and a format that works. Winnebago Lutheran Academy is doing a big expansion or new construction, I guess I should say, up in Fond du Lac. So the templates exist. Ozaukee Christian is trying to follow that template, and I'm confident they'll be successful. There's a lot of positive momentum, and I know a few of their benefactors. I'm quite confident not only will they have the money, but they'll also have the students year after year.
We've been talking with Josh Shulman, Washington County Executive, on Community Comment. Josh, thanks for taking time for your busy schedule to speak with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Everybody have a wonderful week, and take care.
Coming up next, we're going to be talking with Joe Meager, the Dodge County Emergency Management Director, about progress on the cleanup of the train derailment near Reeseville. But we're going to take a break here for the news. We will be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
Sports Talk Radio with a local emphasis. Green Bay football, Milwaukee basketball and baseball, Wisconsin college sports, and of course, Beaver Dam Golden Beavers athletics. Recaps, coaches' interviews, top three plays, and much more. Listen as Corey Sparks has a daily battle putting up with me, Wally Lukashensky. We are the Dam Sports Show. Hear us from 4 until 5 each weekday on the Daily Dodge YouTube page and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
From the biggest stars to the greatest moments, Behind the Bucks is Bucks history like you've never heard it before. Go behind the scenes of the Emmy-nominated Giannis documentary. Get the real story of the blockbuster trade for Damian Lillard. Hear the origin of Bucks in 6. It's all on Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Available now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, it's Stacy from Slumberland, Beaver Dam and Watertown. Stay tuned to my friends here at 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, live from the Slumberland Furniture Studio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. So far, no troops in Chicago, despite hints at that from President Trump that they will be deployed. The White House says to fight crime. However, says ABC senior White House correspondent Selena Wang,
FBI statistics from 2024 show that several cities in red states, including Memphis and St. Louis, have significantly higher murder rates than Chicago. It shows Chicago has 17.5 murders per 100,000 people, while the rate is 40.6 for Memphis and 54.1 for St. Louis. But the Windy City did see a particularly violent Labor Day weekend.
There were peaceful protests against federal government intervention over the weekend. The man charged with trying to assassinate then-candidate Donald Trump at Trump's West Palm Beach Golf Club last year goes on trial today. Jury selection begins for Ryan Ruth, who's defending himself. Russia sending more than 800 drones into Ukraine overnight. This is ABC News.
Award-winning news you can count on. WBEV.
From the Daily Dodge News Center, I'm Terry Bell. A teenager from Watertown is dead after a one-vehicle crash near Watertown Saturday night. The Dodge County Sheriff's Office says it happened at around 628 on County Road Q and Pitt Road in the town of Shields. Investigators say the 2006 Acura sedan left the road and struck several trees before stopping. The 18-year-old driver was pronounced dead at the scene. Mayville is starting the process of drafting its next comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan is a guiding document for growth, development, and long-term vision. Every local government in Wisconsin is required to update its comprehensive plan every 10 years. A public meeting the night of the 23rd will be an opportunity for anyone who lives in Mayville to offer input. The police in Mayville want people to know they are not the ones behind recent mailings asking for donations. The police department says if anyone gets a letter, phone call, or any other message claiming to be from the Mayville Police Department asking for money, to assume it's a scam. The new director of the Milwaukee Art Museum was the director of the Smithsonian Portrait Gallery before President Trump fired her over her approach to diversity. Kim Sayet tells Channel 12's Upfront that she won't change her approach in Wisconsin. A bipartisan bill seeks to save research dogs from euthanasia. The Wisconsin Beagle Freedom Bill would require science labs that test on cats and dogs to offer them up for adoption for 3 weeks before euthanizing them. A facility in Dane County, which breeds animals for research, is under investigation and could be shut down. I'm Terry Bell, reporting from the Daily Dodge News Center. Submit your news tips at dailydodge.com.
High temperatures reach up to 70 today under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 52 tonight, partly cloudy. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs around 74. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times and dry Wednesday and Thursday, mid-70s. Wednesday, upper 70s by Thursday. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Right now, 60.
After a serious crash with a semi-truck, everything can change instantly. Your future, your family's future, your quality of life. That's why knowledge and results matter in big truck cases. And not all law firms have the know-how or the resources to handle these complicated cases. At Grunberg Law Offices, we have the experience it takes to make sure you're protected. And there's never a fee until we win your case. Grunberg Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Join ESPN Beaver Dam's Corey Sparks, Wally Lukaczynski, and Wade Bates in a Cover 5 pool. It's simple. Each week, pick five games against the spread. Then whoever finishes with the most points is a weekly winner. Points will be amassed based on that team's performance against the spread. Compete all season long for your chance at weekly prizes and bragging rights. The contest runs during the NFL regular season only from September 2nd to January 4th. The grand prize is a trip to none other than the amazing Chula Vista Resort and Water Park for four, plus four rounds of 18 holes and two GPS-enabled golf carts at Coldwater Canyon Golf Course, as well as dining passes. Weekly prize winners can claim an ESPN Beaver Dam hat.
Must be 18 years or older to enter. One delay ballot to a driver's license.
Simply download the Cover 5 app and join the ESPN Beaver Dam League by entering code BD2025. Earn your chance to claim those prizes. Join Cover 5 today.
Sherry, what have you done to your hair?
What do you mean? Does it not look good?
It doesn't look good. It looks freaking amazing. I can't believe how thick and healthy it looks. Oh, I must know your secret.
No secret. It's hair volume from New Nordic.
Hair volume, huh? Well, it certainly lives up to its name. Your hair has never looked so thick. It is gorgeous.
I was so tired of having thin and brittle hair. Ugh, and the shedding. So I figured I'd give hair volume a try. Needless to say, I'm thrilled with the results. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to pick up some hair volume right now. My reunion's next month, and I want my hair to look as good as yours.
Hair volume is the best-selling hair tablet in the world and one of many award-winning natural health products from New Nordic, the number one supplier of dietary supplements in Scandinavia. Purchase at newnordicusa.com or your local CVS. Available as a tablet or delicious gummy. Help your hair look full, voluminous, and beautiful again at newnordicusa.com or CVS.
They keep you informed on the Dodge County landscape. We keep the inside of your home looking great. Professional Floor Covering welcomes you to the next segment of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
10:30 at your hometown station, 95.3, and we return to Daily Dodge TV studio. Once again, here's Terry Bell.
Thank you very much, Jeff. On August 15th at about 2 in the afternoon, a Canadian Pacific freight train derailed between Maiden Lane Road and the village of Reeseville in the town of Lowell. The train, which was made up of 95 cars, had about 22 cars derail. Some of them were leaking crude oil. Fortunately, there were no injuries reported, including none of the train crew. Since then, it has been a busy job of cleaning up after that derailment, and much discussion happening about how to prevent this from happening again. And joining us on the line now is Joe Meager. He's the Dodge County Emergency Management Director. Joe, thank you. I know you're very busy this morning. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Terry.
Of course. If you have a question or a comment for Joe Meager, we invite you to join the program at 920-887-9595. You can call or text, or you can call us here at the studio at 885-4446. Well, it has been 3 weeks or so since that derailment. Joe, please get us up to date on what has happened since then.
Sure. So, as I believe we had reported before, the response from the rail company and the CPCK has been extensive, and it started immediately upon our notification of the call. They've brought in state and federal resources to assist with the cleanup. The oversight right now is by NTSB and other federal officials, including the DNR and Fish and Wildlife, to make sure that the process is being conducted adequately. And a lot of times with hazmat-type incidents, it's slow and methodical response to make sure that we don't cause anything else to be catastrophic. So we certainly appreciate that from them. They have been providing us with daily updates, incident command system type forms that kind of lets us know the process that they're following. And we have been in real close contact with them throughout the last 3 weeks.
As of about a week ago, I think 8 of the cars had been removed, 22 or so went off the tracks. But as you explained to me last week, this process is necessarily meticulous and by some definitions even slow.
Yeah, and that's correct. The request from the federal investigators was that the cars need to be removed. They need to be offloaded and removed. They also need to be what they call scrubbed, both on the inside and the outside. And then they are then within the lot there, transported, cut up, and gotten rid of appropriately.
One thing that I have heard quite a bit is there's a lot of relief that there wasn't any need for a mass evacuation. There was crude oil on the train, but no hazardous chemicals got out in the community. This could have been a lot worse had just a few facts of this situation been different.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Our initial response there was emergent, and we were taking information from different reporting parties that they believed it was ethanol. That certainly, you know, heights our level of awareness and the thoughts of evacuations based on kind of the characteristics of ethanol. We quickly then determined, based on the railroad feedback and the consist of the train, that it was crude oil.
Still, I imagine with how much crude oil got out of the cars and how much got into the soil and how big a job is that going to be to remove it?
So they are required to do regular soil testing. So we know that the cars, or we were at least advised that the cars can have in excess of 33 1,000 gallons within them. So we knew that at least the one that had catastrophically kind of buried itself in the ground was leaking beyond anybody's really ability to control it. We know from prior experience that as they remove those cars, they have to continually test the soil. So they test soil all the way down until they don't receive any more readings of with the crude being at this time. So it's continuous soil monitoring by the companies that are working out there.
How long do you think it will be before the wreckage is completely cleared away from the site?
So we were originally advised about a month, and I think they're right on schedule with that now. Of course, you know, I think things will start wrapping up within the next 2-3 weeks. I think that what we've been advised, I should say, is that NTSB takes between 9 and 12 months to make a determination as to what happened. So we're certainly anxious about getting that report, but we're also concerned moving forward here with it being, you know, almost the 2-year anniversary of the original train derailment that had happened there.
Yeah, and you raise a good point. This is, as you say, the second time this has happened in a little over 2 years. And I think if you go back 20 years or so, this is the third time there's been a derailment in that general area. And, of course, you know, people will speculate whether there's one common denominator behind all two or three of these.
That's correct. And I do not remember the one from 20 years ago. But we do have some folks that have been involved in emergency response since then. And I know that they made improvements, and that's been a topic of discussion. We know that they made improvements, and they increased the speed of which the train runs through at that location. Of course, people can speculate that that's the possibility of the reasoning for the train derailing, just based on the speed and such. And then there's also discussion on the quality of the sort of marshy area and the base that the train runs over.
You know, we mentioned that it was good that we avoided a worst-case scenario. There was some inconvenience, though. Those are the same tracks that Amtrak uses to get between Chicago and the Twin Cities, and a lot of Amtrak schedules had to be changed.
No, that's absolutely true. The initial response from their hazardous materials guy that we've done extensive training with and had close contact with in the last derailment said that they were considering it a federal response because it was stopping that train traffic, the passenger car train traffic. And when we talk about the passenger cars, that's another level of concern from our perspective is the possibility of an Amtrak being affected there. Certainly when we were working the fare and being advised by our dispatch of the derailment, that's the first thing that comes to our mind and certainly a really scary thing.
We're talking to Dodge County Emergency Management Director Joe Meager about the August 15th derailment near Reeseville and what is being done since then. We need to take a short break here, but we will be right back. You're listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge.
The Beaver Dam High School girls volleyball team hosts Wanakee on Thursday night in a huge early season Badger Large Conference matchup, and you can watch all the action on Daily Dodge TV, presented by Columbus Family Dental, Hometown Glass and Improvement, and the Beaver Dam Unified School District. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45 with the first serve set for 7 o'clock. It's Beaver Dam and Wanakee Thursday night, high school girls volleyball on Daily Dodge TV.
Hey, it's Stacy with Slumberland Beaver Dam. Our remodeling sale is going on right now, and you can save big during our mess. Stop in and take a look at all of the fun projects that we're doing inside the store and save with up to 80% off of list prices. Everything in the store is marked down, from clearance merchandise to mattresses to special purchase items. Sofas, sectionals, and Lazy Boy chairs are all yours at massive discounts. Take advantage of our messy days during our remodeling sale going on right now at Slumberland Furniture, Beaver Dam.
Chad at Air Care in Beaver Dam says he's got an air conditioner for your home that sips electricity and saves you money. And who doesn't want to save money?
The electricity sipping carrier air conditioner, along with the gas sipping carrier furnace, will save you money during the warm weather. It works together with a thermostat that communicates with the air conditioner and the blower on your furnace, telling them exactly when to sip the least amount of energy needed to keep you comfortable. Every piece of equipment is designed to work together, giving you control of your indoor comfort. Let AirCare provide you with quiet, efficient cooling and dehumidification all summer long. You can also take control of your system from anywhere with their smartphone app, providing peace of mind while you're away from home. AirCare is a factory-authorized carrier dealer. Visit AirCareInc.com or call them at 920-356-8860. AirCare, committed to your comfort for over 40 years. Reliability you can count on.
At Prairie Ridge Health, our orthopedic and sports medicine team is committed to personalized care that meets your individual needs. From arthritis to complex sports injuries, we treat a wide range of conditions with the latest in both surgical and non-surgical options. We're here to help you move better and feel stronger. Now seeing patients in Beaver Dam, Columbus, and Sun Prairie. Learn more at prairieridge.health. Prairie Ridge Health, inspired by you.
These are the happenings in your community. Thank you for joining this edition of Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge, presented by Professional Floor Covering.
14 minutes before 11 o'clock at WBEV, back to the Daily Dodge TV studio, and Terry Bell.
Thank you, Jeff. We are talking about the train derailment that happened near Reeseville back on August 15th. How it might have happened and what's being done since then. Maybe you have some questions or some insight. If you do, you can call us or text us at 920-887-9595 or call the studio at 885-4446. We are joined this half hour by Joe Meager. He's Dodge County's Emergency Management Director. You know, there are a lot of thoughts and perhaps a lot of educated guesses as to how this started, but how long will the actual investigation, Joe, play itself out?
Okay, so I'm hearing 12 months. That's kind of the magic number. I don't know if that can be expedited any. I haven't got any intel on that.
Okay. Is it likely one thing causing both of the derailments in the last 2 years, or is it possible that it might be some kind of coincidence?
And that's certainly a possibility. Of course, I don't have the knowledge, I guess, at this point to be able to point the finger in any one direction. It would be railroad officials and those involved with transportation safety.
Certainly. In your job as emergency management director, what sorts of things do you have to be prepared to possibly take care of when you first get the notification that a train is derailed?
Yeah, so we're definitely looking at it in the emergency management perspective of the 100-mile perspective. We are sort of the logistics and the support for the local fire, EMS, law enforcement. When something like this happens, we conduct training, we attend training and conferences throughout the years that have linked us up with the folks that really know how to respond to stuff of this sort. It's sort of one of those things that, many EM directors don't go through within their careers. So always looking to make contacts and networking. I can tell you that rail has been extremely, a good partner with us over the past many years in conducting training and exercising and such within our conferences.
Of all the things you have to be prepared for, Joe, to respond to, as we know, we had a bad bout of severe weather in May in particular, but it's been kind of a stormy summer all season long. Just kind of where on the list does a potential train derailment fall upon, like, the things that you really have to be ready to respond to?
Certainly, depending on the type of goods that are being hauled, within the train, it's a huge concern. The train runs through a lot of our communities between Columbus and as it exits to the east. So certainly a good concern. We do know that the railroad has dangerous good folks, and they're constantly monitoring what goes where. And we're not necessarily completely aware of things as it comes through at any specific time, but we are through transportation studies and commodity flow studies. We're aware of what's on the trains. And actually, when you look at the overall picture for concern and issues that arise, it's safer to move goods on a train than it is to have, you know, a semi-trailer running down the highway hauling it.
I know some people prefer to travel by train because they're concerned about any safety issues with flying. But, oh, my goodness, I hate to even say this out loud, but, you know, what if this had happened when a passenger train was going through?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a very scary issue. We know that through our planning and exercising that we've done within the fire departments, the EMS, the mutual aid box alarm system, we have these sort of target discussions and are prepared to respond to it, but it certainly would quickly be overwhelming, and we'd be definitely calling in additional, you know, surrounding support.
You mentioned that the railroad has been a good partner in this process, and it's also my understanding that the cost of dealing with this all falls on the railroad, that this will not be a taxpayer-funded job to get this cleaned up?
That's correct. The railroad has their own auditing folks and their own financial folks. We're only required to provide them with an invoice, and all of those charges are covered. Our office administrates the hazmat team, the hazardous materials truck, and responders did respond to that call. Was immediately requested by the CLR fire chief, and through mutual aid box alarm requests, we had not only the hazmat team but additional fire and EMS units that responded. And all of those costs, including the usage of our truck, some of the materials that we use to attempt to mitigate some of the leaks, is all covered, with, including the manpower, from our office's perspective.
As I understand it, only one person, I don't want to say had to be evacuated, they voluntarily evacuated. Nobody was forced out of their homes on August 15th, is my understanding.
That's correct, yeah. The farmer, or the rural home that's at the end of the road there, they voluntarily evacuated. We know that, you know, if it would have been a fire situation, you know, there was some concern with explosions and that type of thing. We felt as though we were far enough away from the remote area that it was in. It gave us a level of concern, you know, that it was alleviated.
As you mentioned, it could be a year or so before final determinations are made about the cause. Will Dodge County play any part in the solution to any problems that are identified after the investigation?
So certainly, in discussion with the sheriff and one of our county board representatives that represents that area, they have already reached out to the federal folks and initiated conversation with the concern with the train derailing within the last 2 years, two derailments. So they're hoping that with that information being passed on, that we can expedite a determination of what can be done at that point.
And again, would that be a federal job? Would that be the railroad's job? Would Dodge County be on the hook for any possible solutions?
Yeah, I don't believe the county would be on the hook for a solution, but I think we can be somewhat of the advocate for our residents, and especially when we're talking to you know, senators, congressmen, that type of thing, and those that oversee kind of the operations of the investigative folks at the state and federal level.
As bad as the derailment was, the big relief that you feel and a lot of your colleagues feel is that it wasn't any worse. Give some praise to the people who, helped make this possible, that this was not any worse than maybe it could have been.
Yeah, no, looking back on the response, it played like clockwork. Everything from our response and our request, reaching out to request the hazmat team, the immediate contact that I had with the CLR chief, he says, "Hey, where are you at?" And I said, "I'm at the fair." He says, "I hope you know what's going on." And I said, "Absolutely, and we're en route." While I was en route, I was actually on the phone with CP Rail's hazardous goods individual, Tony. We were discussing what was on the train even prior to my arrival there, which we had then determined that it was the crude. And then everything from requests from the sheriff for a drone team, requests from local fire departments to bring in drones. The drones were huge in us being able to get to that location because it was remote, because it's in a marshy area, to safely get our eyes on it, to make sure that what we thought was happening was actually there. So the response from everybody was amazing, and we can be thankful that there wasn't any injuries. We're certainly ready and prepared should something like that happen.
I'm glad you mentioned the drones. That has to have made a huge difference in the abilities that you and other people who deal with emergencies, now that you have this tool at your disposal.
Yeah, the drones were a huge asset, and they were up within 15, 20 minutes of the original call, and we were taking in the drone footage both live, as well as the department's forwarding it on to us, the pictures, and kind of working through that type of request for information.
Very good. Joe Meager is Dodge County's Emergency Management Director. Joe, it's been an enlightening 30 minutes. We want to thank you for taking time for your busy schedule to join us.
Thank you, Terry.
You've been listening to Community Comment on 95.3 WBEV, powered by Daily Dodge. Thanks for listening.